Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in.
What's popping, guys? How you doing?
Alive?
I hope so. Are you saying that as your birthday's approaching?
Yeah.
Or have you forgotten about that?
I did forget until you just reminded me.
I'm not going to lie. Really? I forgot as well.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, it's in the back of my mind, but
there's so your much wife going on let you once. Forget? I don't believe that. I'm pretty sure sis was on to you, like, yo, it's your birthday.
Her and grandma both tried that with me. And I was like, you ain't doing it for me. And they were like, cool, we'll do it for ourselves. And I was like,
yeah, man.
Well, I don't hear anything else, then that's all on you.
Listen, it's Corona times. People need an excuse to do something.
For real. Know?
Do you know, like, me and Mercedes, we plan our food shops. And we go down every single aisle. Every single aisle. Because what else can you do? What else can you do?
I will say, the last time I went shopping, they had some good-ass music. So I was boogieing down the lanes with the wife.
Where was it? Were you shopping? No. I've never heard any kind of music.
Was it Heart Radio? No, Inspiration FM? Come on.
It was probably Heart Radio, but shouts out to Inspiration FM. I can't remember. It was like some 80s song. You know, I love 80s songs.
Is Inspiration still going?
Yeah.
Really?
Strong. Yeah, upon my return, I'm seeing these guys still going strong.
Wow.
But who knows who the DJs are, but yeah, man. Shout out to Inspiration FM. They've been...
Yeah, to all the DJs at Inspiration FM in Northampton. Shout out to you, man.
Yeah. Definitely, that would be cool. Doing some... I don't know. Maybe I might do a mix for Inspiration.
Hey, who knows?
Maybe I might get my own inspirational show. Who knows? No, that's cool, man. I remember the first time it came about. It was like, I guess, the first kind of black radio in Northampton.
Almost had like pirate vibes.
Yeah.
It was almost...
The signal itself wasn't even that great. It still isn't.
You had to find the frequency. I don't remember what the frequency was, but I know it... Are they on digital? I don't think they're on digital. Are they digital?
I reckon they are, you know. We've been going for long enough. It'll be silly and almost maybe impossible for them to have sustained their activity and their growth without going online. That's all businesses.
But it's charity work, right? It's not paid work. So as long as the drive is inside you, I think you can keep it going for the end of time or until the end of time.
Yeah, maybe. Or there are no DJs there. It's just DJ Bot 3000 spinning in the mix.
Just the Spotify mix that just keeps going over and over. Well, we need to get on that algorithm. Then it should be playing one of our episodes on it.
Some music radio. That would be so dope.
That would be cool.
Humble as they come. My guy.
AJ, what song was it that you was hearing in the...
No, I don't remember the song. I just know it's one of those funky 80s songs. So the wife and I fully had a good boogie. It's like, man, you used to have to go to nightclubs for a good boogie, but now you
was dancing. You was dancing in the aisle.
Oh, we were dancing.
I had a mini rave in Tesco's.
Damn! Did anybody else join in? I can imagine it being like, you know, where it starts with one person and then two people and then 10 people, and then it turns out to be a whole video thing that was planned. What do they call that? Mob parties? What do they call them?
I'll be honest. I didn't notice anyone else. I was just in the moment. The spirits of dancing had touched my soul.
Them African dancing spirits.
Flash mob.
That's it. Flash mob.
I got you.
Have you ever seen one of those in real life or been a part of it?
Yeah, in China.
Swear.
No way. What was that like? First of all, what was the music? Secondly, what was the dance moves like?
No. We weren't dancing by flash mob. I'm talking about there's suddenly loads of people. And then you would continue on to say that those loads of people are conducting whatever. But just flash mob, what I understand of it is suddenly loads of people.
And so suddenly you landed in China and you realized there was loads of people there.
Yeah, like you have to explain.
Flash mob 24/7.
Some sort of festival
There's a high population there. That's why I ask. Because I'm sure a lot of the time, especially if you're in the cities, there will be a lot of people.
How did you get involved in a flash mob?
No. I was the one who was...
You got flash mobbed?
Yes. But...
Because you're a black man in China. Of course you got flash mobbed.
It's not even that.
I got flash mob when I went too.
This guy, Kobe. Everybody in peace, Kobe. China gets flash mobbed.
You think so? 100%. I think if you're black, yeah.
No matter who you are, you turn the corner and then suddenly there's loads of people.
Yeah. Like I've seen one online of, I think it's like this couple who are walking in some sort of massive park. Think of like Grand Central Park in the States, yeah, some sort of massive area like that.
I've never been. Have you been?
I'm just saying, imagine.
Oh, sorry.
That's the first bar that I said. I said, imagine.
Apologize, I'm on to you. I'm sorry. Damn. Keep going.
Yeah, so this couple's walking through this park or whatever, and it's surrounded by perhaps just over 100 people in this park, all walking around doing their own thing. But everyone freezes, like frozen in time. And the couple keep walking and you see them proper start wigging out just like, oh, damn. What the hell is going on? Why has everyone stopped? Start bolting it. Start sprinting. Just like, oh, okay, let's get out of here.
they start running.
They ran.
And then everyone started moving again and they stopped. They were just like, oh, that was so weird. And a few people came over and explained the thing. They were just like, yeah, that's weird.
So what was the purpose? Just to creep them out?
I don't know. Flash mobs can have all sorts of purposes or political ties. Who knows the reason for a flash mob? It's just to... Again, just to go back to what AJ said, it's loads of people who suddenly do this one thing. Like with this explanation that I just gave, it was people just decided to freeze in time.
Mm. Yeah. I actually had witnessed a flash mob a couple of times when I was living in Leeds. I used to work at the Apple Store, and where it's positioned in the Trinity Centre, it's you can literally see right in the middle of the centre. And I think they used to have loads of things, parades there. Sometimes they'll have floats there. Sometimes they'll have just random things. Like if there's a movie premiere, they would have like a massive dinosaur, you know, the new Jurassic Park movie. And I'm just there trying to, you know, have a conversation with Doris, trying to sort out her phone and her iCloud. But yeah, I remember there was one time where, or a couple of times actually, there was a flash mob. And it was the most random thing. I was just, what's going on? You just see people and then loads of people singing together. And then they just walk about and then just continue doing their thing. And I'm just thinking, how do you rehearse this? You rehearse this?
True that.
Is it rehearsed? I don't think it's rehearsed. I feel like it's more...
the spirits of... dance.
It's the African spirits again. It's getting them all, isn't it?
Well, I think every culture has their spirit of dance.
We're all African, that's what I'm saying.
Don't need to get racist.
Apart from that guy who's 4%. Was it 4%? He's the only guy I can't.
Hey, my guy.
He can be African, but he can't be black.
Adam Johnson.
With a name like that, we don't know.
Damn.
Cool, cool, cool. Oz, how's things been with you, man? How you been?
Yeah, man. Safu safu. Poco a poco. However other many ways I could say it. Taking it step by step, day by day. These days, they seem to blend together.
I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. Kids back in school, what's that saying?
You know, do you know what? There's a bit of a reprieve there, if you get me. Like, before with homeschooling, that's... Well, I can't speak for all parents across the UK and the world or whatever, but my experience of it was, yo, I'm going to sit down and make sure that we're doing the stuff together.
Mm. Kind of like bonding, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Like another form of bonding.
100%, 100%. And that was quite an intense period. It was almost, what, 8 weeks that kids were homeschooled.
8 weeks? And
do you know what? It's a massive burden to put on parents who aren't truly qualified to say, these are the lessons you need in order to pass school, pass education. Now, these are serious things. Like life lessons, that's slightly different in terms of teaching as a parent. But as a teacher, you need to go to school for that. You need to go to uni. You need to go and do your PGCE. You need to level up so you have the correct tools in order to teach kids. Mm. I'm sitting down and I'm like, I don't have the tools. Thank God for the internet, because in the night I would YouTube a bunch of stuff. Like, oh, okay, like this is the lesson. Oh, we need to do 3D shapes. What's the best way to make that engaging? Or so he's going, oh, man, that it was intense. That's what I'm trying to get at.
It's not just the content. It's more so the delivery of the content and how to make it digestible to a child.
100%. And you need to think, as a child, they're used to, cool, we have a couple of lessons and then we go outside and we run around and we play time. And then you come back, do some more, and then you go outside again for lunch before the end of school.
And it's difficult. Wasn't there like a break at the end of the day, before the end of the day? Did you guys not have that? I'm pretty sure there was like...
What school did you go to?
No.
What was that one you went to?
Lings, man. Come on. I was in Lings, bro. Come on.
Which one you went to? Near
Kingston. Gillsborough.
Look at him. He was...
Maybe that... Yeah, we had afternoon tea. Afternoon tea? No. I'm pretty sure back in primary school, there was the morning... You have the break, like, you know, after around 11 o'clock. Then you have your 1 o'clock or 12:30 lunchtime. And I'm pretty sure at the end of the day, there was like another 15 minutes somewhere. No?
No, not for me. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, shout out all the parents homeschooling. Shout out the rest that you lot are getting now. But I know it's not easy because those hours just dip. You drop them off, you're like, cool, let me fix up a beat, or let me write some poetry, or let me keep myself busy. Before you know it, you're like, damn, I'm going to go pick this buggers up.
Yeah, man.
Let's go. Mask on. Here we go. Mask on by myself, Leonidas. Everyone else has already been duffied. I'm just going by myself.
Yeah. Did you find some of the content? I guess you had to relearn some of the stuff to be able to teach it, right? Did you find some of the content a bit like, why do they need to learn this? Was there anything that you came across where it was like, there's no point in me teaching this because I can't see the value in it? Or was everything you think, okay, yeah, this is necessary for this person or this, you know, this human to survive in this life? Because when kids are at school, we don't really, I say we, I'm not a parent, but parents don't really have the exposure of everything that they're learning in the classroom. You know, they hear about their, you know, reports, hear about the exams and stuff. They don't really know what's going on every day in the class, what they're learning, how they're learning. They don't know all of that stuff. They just trust the system and the teachers.
100%.
And as a child that went through school, you know, we all went through school, there was a lot of stuff that's like, why on earth do I need to know what this angle and this angle and does that and this and that when I'm not going to be doing it in life? So were there moments where you was reviewing the content and were like, you need to homeschool and teach the kids this, this and this? And you're like, nope, cross that out. Nope. Okay, I can replace that with maybe teaching something that will give them a bit more value.
No, do you know what? Shout out to the teachers. They couldn't do their job, so they tried in the best way that they could. I thought the content was okay, man. Like, thank God for now. It wasn't super difficult stuff. Like, we're doing quite basic. Like, we haven't even started, like, times tables. We're just doing adding and subtracting, learning. I can see the progression for sure. Like, I'm having to teach him stuff that he's never seen before. I go back to 3D shapes. That was a session. That was a session. Tested my metal. Tested his metal.
Cuboid. Wow. But, yeah, I don't use them anymore.
Yeah, well, look at it.
Yeah, I don't use. I learned them, and I know I did well. I had to do well. But yeah.
Yeah, man.
What do you think if we went homeschooled, AJ? What do you think if we was in this situation at the time where we were growing up? What do you think? How do you think it would have went? Do you think we would have been good?
It either would have went really well or really, really bad. And I say that because I feel if it was mom or dad, they were young enough to be strict African parents teaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which, no, oh, man. I don't know.
They believe there's a correlation between getting beat and learning. It's like the more you get beat, the more you're going to retain it.
Yeah. It's a... yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's
perhaps
like...
Perhaps it's a threshold. You get hit enough, and then after that...
you get enlightened.
Yeah. You just gain oneness and enlightenment. You're just like...
Your belt no longer hurts me.
You have to activate that part of your brain through trauma, right? Maybe that's perhaps. What it is. But no, it's kind of like maybe down to the scientific methods of reward and punishment. Because I'm pretty sure there was a study. Oh man, this is taking me back into when I was at Gillsborough. I think there was a guy called Pavlov. It was a psychologist, I want to say. And he was basically doing an experiment to about teaching dogs. Mm-hmm. And he had these dogs, and it was like, okay, well, what he would do is when he's trying to teach a dog something, he would give the dog a shock. To see if they were going to learn it. And then the other dog, he would give a treat to see who would learn it quicker and who would learn it faster. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's where it's come from. Maybe African parents are actually really scientific.
Mm. Like, to add to that idea, perhaps hitting your child whilst learning something, they make a negative association or negative memory, and those seem to stick a lot stronger than positive
content that you're trying to teach them.
Yeah. So perhaps, hey, I can't talk for all African parents out there. I can't talk for all parents. Let me not say that.
Yeah.
Other nations out
there. All African parents beat their kids. No, they don't.
Most of them do.
Well, we're out here just slating people.
Do you know, I got this friend, African guy, and he got his ass whooped when he was a kid, growing up, all the way through his teenage years. Like, his mum whooped his ass so hard throughout his life. My man says to me that if he had a child, he would whoop the child as well.
Look at that. It's a negative cycle of destruction.
But why? Did he say what his reason yes. was? Because it worked for him.
Yes, exactly. Because it worked on him. His ass got whooped and he's okay now. This dude can't accept, you know, because every time I end the call with him, I always say, love you, man. And he can't say, I love you back.
Mm.
He's always like, whoa. He's used to me saying it now. So he goes, a brother is telling me that he loves me and I appreciate that.
Mm.
So he says he's all right. Spare the rod, ruin the child, or something like that is his reason for why he would continue the cycle of ass whooping.
Man, I don't know, man. I'm trying to think of whether it's something that I can see myself doing, because when I'm trying to be logical about it, it just makes sense to me. It's like, oh, you know, it doesn't have to be done, or, you know, it's 2020 now, or 2021, sorry. You know, times are different from how they were beforehand, you know. Maybe there's something where there's more channels where kids can... There's more opportunity for it to leak out and for it to be a bigger problem for the parent. But then also I remind myself there was times where, you know, mom would be like, oh, you want to... I'll call the police for you.
Yeah, in there. Oh, what a bar.
I'll call the feds for you. And hopefully they can take away your dead body. No, I'm exaggerating. That was never said. But you get what I mean. It's kind of... It's weird. I don't know. What are your guys' opinion on that? What do you guys think? You guys are parents. Surely... I don't know. Yeah. Advise me.
I am not about hitting... I'm not about it. For me, it goes back to what I was explaining earlier, the negative memory that you can make. I think that's not something that I want my kids to live with in a learning context.
Mm.
More time, it's going to sit down and be like, look, this is how it is. You don't believe me? Cool. Here's Google. This is how it is. Take that knowledge and grow with it. And I'm seeing that as we're having conversations. I think that's much more effective in his worldly growth as well.
Because
you need to grow within this world in order to survive. You need to know how it works. Like, thank God I've got these guys with me. They've pushed for him to start understanding money a bit better. Like, with the homeschooling, we did a session where I taught him the basics, 1p, 5p, 2p, 10p, all the way up to £1, £2.
Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Jana, also known as Junior Lamb.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child Oz, aka Wizard King.
So now we've set up a chart for him where he gets rewarded with money for doing chores around the house or something like 25p, stuff like this. And him himself, he has to go and market there to be like, yo, I've banked this. All the while saving up for...
That's dope, by the way. That's really dope.
To these
you guys are creative parents, man. I think... I don't know whether it's some sort of YouTube channel, but I think some of the parenting I've seen you guys do, like, I'm furiously taking notes down.
Mm.
I'm like, this is dope. It fits in today's... I just think it fits in the current climate that we're in. It fits in the right time. And I think it's just most effective as well. I think it's the most effective thing that you can give is just, honest opportunities for your child to learn and to be able to, you know, experience these things creatively.
Mm.
I think traditionally certain things like money, I don't know whether it was the same with you. I've always been bad with money. And the way that I learned how to, you know, what money is what, is by going to the shop and, you know, you give some, you get some back. You come back home, is it the right change?
No, because you bought yourself an extra Mars bar. Yeah, because
You know, it was Freddo looking at that 50. Okay, this is 10p. I don't know what it is now. You know, and the small 2p's, you know, stacking them up. That's why I used to go in and count them. Okay, I'll take my time. But that was the value, or where I had to learn the value of money and be able to differentiate between that. I don't know how kids do it nowadays. I don't know. I don't think there's a 2p section anymore. Inflation took that way out the window. Inflation came. You kids got to come with paper money if you want to buy any sweets. It's like, okay, cool.
So my opinion on hitting children, I'm totally against that. Mm. I do believe you should be firm with your children.
100%.
What does that mean?
You set boundaries. There's consequences for actions. And you have to enforce those. There's no, go to your room and stay there for the rest of the night, and then 10 minutes later they're downstairs cozying up on you. That doesn't work. You got to be firm. It's a case of, right, I'm trying to teach you how to live in this world as best as I can. That's the contract I have with you. When it comes to you, all my actions will be based on I want the best for you. You may not always understand that, but we can discuss, and we can even discuss what the boundaries are, like, you know, why you shouldn't do something. Like, these are the possible consequences. So yeah, I'm not supportive of hitting kids at all. I don't see the worth. As somebody who got my ass whooped as a child.
Finish him. Sorry.
I know. Neck twist. Almost.
Whoopsie.
K.O.
Yeah, joke.
Oh, you guys are making me choke on these memories.
On a serious note, I wanted to talk to you about the situation that's going on in the UK right now after a woman was murdered by what I believe was a police officer.
Oh my. Yeah, carry on.
What do you know about this?
Vaguely. I think it's hard not to be aware of things that are happening in the world, especially in the UK, because if you're not watching the news, what else are you watching? Or if you don't at least see or hear, you know, yeah, everything is focused on what we hear or see in the media. So yeah, I know a little bit about it, but I don't know a great deal of it. I watched a couple videos.
Do you want to give you a quick rundown?
Please.
Hit me.
Okay.
Hit me.
Because I'm like Mo.
So I'm just paraphrasing from the Indian Express. What happened? Earlier this month, this woman disappeared while walking home to Brixton after visiting a friend in Clapham. It's about 50 minutes away from each other on foot. Now, on the 3rd of March, the woman left Clapham at 9 p.m. to walk through the Clapham Common. And on the way home. After she left, the woman spoke to her boyfriend on the phone for around 14 minutes. She was last spotted with the footage of a doorbell camera at 9:28. A day later, they called the police. This is the boyfriend. He called the police, filed a report that she's missing. The police put everything out. So they're sending dogs, they're checking flats, they're checking lakes, everything. They can't obviously find anything. They've gone to social media. And it turns out that they found the body. Let me try and find it now. Found a body in like Kent or something.
Which was... No. Okay. Yeah. So she was in Clapham. So she was in South London. Her body ended up
elsewhere. Like, don't say Kent. But just elsewhere.
Elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. She didn't make it home. but they found the body, and now they've putting the finger on this police officer who wasn't on duty at the time.
Where did this police officer come from? Where did he, like, yeah. Is there anything on that?
So this police officer had been with the London Met for 2 years, but he had first been posted in South London and was serving as a parliamentary diplomatic protection command soldier, whatever. God. The unit that's tasked with protecting the UK's parliamentary estate and embassies.
Okay.
So the police are saying that this particular guy, he wasn't on duty when the woman disappeared, but he's also suspected for an indecent exposure charge on a separate incident.
That happened beforehand, and he still had his badge. Okay,
so on Wednesday, March 10th, the police discovered bodily remains in a wooded area here in Ashford, Kent. And on Friday, through her dental records, they clocked it was the woman.
Damn, that bad. So very tragic thing that's happened to this woman.
Rest in peace, man.
I still don't get the connection of the link. Where's this police officer come from? Because I think the time scale of things, right, is fairly short. This happened within a couple of days to a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where did they find this, or how did they identify that this police officer is the one who should be? I don't know. I'm just trying to find, where did that link come from? Is it something? Is it just a random thing that this guy's done?
I was quite shocked to see some of the stuff they were saying against the police. I was quite shocked. I was like, damn, this is no holds bar now.
Yep.
I think perhaps some of it is warranted. Now, yeah,
for sure.
It's broad for strokes sure. that we're painting this guy with in terms of the entire police force and what they're capable of, but also
it's bigger.
It's what they're capable of.
It's bigger than just the police stuff. You see, the I thing hear that. Is, a lot of the stuff I've seen from women who, from social media that I'm on friends with and stuff like that, a lot of what I've seen from them is, actually, we don't feel safe. Mm. There was this one thing that really got me, and I can't remember it exactly, but it's like, it asks you several questions. I don't know, there's like 8 questions, and it's all about doing something, and it's something silly like, do you hold your breath whenever you're walking past someone, or do you hold your keys in your hand when you're walking down the road? And I'm like, no. And right at the end it goes, every woman feels this way when they're walking out at night. And I know that's quite a generalized statement, but all these women keep saying it. If it's just one person saying it, you'd be like, oh, maybe this person's just crazy. But all of the women are saying it.
Yeah, it's a serious problem, man. It's a serious, serious problem. I think another one that caught me was, and I think I'd seen this on Twitter, and it was like, what all women are saying, what would you do, or what would be one of the things that you would do if there was no men in the world? And a lot of people were saying things like, walk down the street at night with my headphones in.
Yeah.
And not worry about something. And I'm thinking, damn. I don't know. Oh, man. It's a really deep one, man. It's a really deep
don't
one.
Get me but wrong. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But I'm very supportive of women bringing their issues to the hypothetical table.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think
it's very key. There's no point just moving forward in one aspect, things do need to change. I don't know what the change will be, but discussing it, you know, and it's very much a women-led conversation.
It should be. And I think what makes it even more, I guess, have a bit more power behind it, you know, it's very, you know, maybe this is something that has been voiced for a very long time, but it's not really been listened to or really, really looked into by the masses, right? But I think this is amplified a lot more because it's the police. And it's like, these are the people that are meant to be protecting you. And, you know, one of them might kill you or one of them might put their knees on your back. And it's just like, it goes to show absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. You know, it's these people that have the badge and they have this feeling. I think it's been going on for I guess the beginning of time, wherever that the authority was made of, okay, these are going to be the people that are going to protect. I think always when it comes to that, there is a thin line between protecting and abusing that power that you have. I think that, yeah, the whole fact that it's this storyline and it's the police and they're the ones that have kind of committed the crime, I think it's just amplified the stories to, yeah, really smack a lot of people in the faces, so then they can really, really, you know, pay attention and look at this.
Yeah, I hear that. More people just resonate with it. It's the perfect storm for such a tragic event to occur. But,
and it's COVID times, man. Like, damn.
And we're just getting off the back of the whole hashtag MeToo movement. That's just happened. So it's like, right, we're revealed that many men, even some men that perhaps people looked up to or was like, yeah, is a hero to me, were people who fell short on that line between abuse of power and famedom. And now it's the police. You know, obviously it's one police officer, but it's much more than the individual, it's what it represents.
Yeah, and I think that's the I think the fundamentals of a lot of the structures that have been built in society are slowly, you know, being,
yeah,
I feel like the face is being peeled away and people are actually seeing it for what it is. And I think that's happening across the board.
Yes. And I think only possible with COVID. So pre-COVID, I have a background in politics. So I was quite aware of what was going on politically. And I was also quite aware of how the average citizen is so unengaged with politics, has no idea. And I came to the understanding of they just don't have time, really. And I understand that's quite a lame excuse, but you think about, you know, you got kids, you got job, you got a partner.
You've got Dave's problems at work.
You've got first world problems.
You're having a coffee and Dave's...
The first world is... Like, I'm not even joking. You can't sustain it by just chilling. It's sort of constant. But COVID just locks everyone up and goes, all right, take a look at yourselves. And I think for the first time, many people have seen it. And there's so many different reactions. And I don't really know what the right answer is. But for me, it's just like, yeah, people should be discussing. We should all be discussing. Women should be talking to men. Men should be talking to women. Listen, I reckon most men, and this is going to sound like out there, but most men throughout their lives have probably done something to make a woman feel scared or whatever without them even realizing they're doing that. Like, even if it's, let's say, borderline creepy, let's say it's borderline creepy, but it's not to the extent where you would wish someone to have that deep fear in them because of your actions.
Yeah, and I think it's getting so deep. People are losing their lives now. I mean, they've been losing their lives before in the past. But yeah, man, I just think the narrative and how everything has unfolded and will continue to unfold is just society really showing its true colors. And it's sad to see, but it's also the reality. And it's good that, you know, the reality can come out, because I think once the issues are confronted, that's when they can that's when real work can be done and we can really make improvements to society, or maybe even completely change the way society is. I don't know what the answer is personally, but I do know that this is the first step is always acceptance. You know, once you overcome that acceptance and be able to look back in the mirror and say, okay, there's a problem. That's when you take the first step in resolving whatever that problem is.
Yeah, trying to figure out how to resolve it, which is super important. It's the place where work actually gets done. And I think last year with the Black Lives Matter movement, I feel like it wasn't a long-term movement. It was a movement for just then and there because of the conditions of COVID and just the world at the time. But it seems like the longer this goes on, the longer we're not allowed to go back to normal, the more society has to confront itself and more conversations can happen and more development can possibly happen. We'll see. There's people working really hard to get things to go back to how they were.
Negative. I don't think it's going to happen.
There's people working super hard for that.
Do you know what's crazy, right? And I had seen this somewhere online, and it was someone had said, we've just hit the point in time where someone's had their second birthday in lockdown. And I was thinking, what? We've gone full circle. And I was having this conversation with my girl earlier today. And honestly, I think people are unaware of how different things already are. So the whole return back to normal, it's not going to happen. I've accepted that. I personally don't feel 100%. I have to get used to going outside. I'm not used to going outside and being or seeing loads of people.
Being around loads of people. It gives you a creepy feeling.
It sounds silly, but even certain things like, you know, and I've never been the best person at walking straight, but even certain things like walking straight, you know, it sounds silly, but it's like certain things that we were so used to are going to be so different. And it's not just, oh, we're going to go back and everything's going to be fine. It's like, obviously not.
Yeah, well, normality is subjective in every form, because it's, as you say, the world is changed already. The world has changed, already.
Like, how you think nightclubs are going to be? I think they're going to have tapes and you have sections.
Yeah.
And you boogie in your section and that's it.
So I went to a nightclub during COVID.
Damn.
But
where?
On it. Like what?
In Northampton. However, not to go dance and boogie or anything like that. My wife had an app where you can buy stuff. And it's like all the stuff that pubs and shops and whatnot were going to get rid of because of lockdown. You could go and they'll do magic parcels where they'll just put different products in a parcel and give it to you. Yeah, the app will give you a super discounted price. I wish I remember it so I can promote it to people to use it, because they still do it, but I can't remember the name of it.
I think...
Don't say the name. I was going to say,
oh,
we need to leverage stuff, man. Come on, you lot. Get your business heads on.
I think
true. That's the editing. I like it.
If they want the full version of the podcast, then they can...
Yeah, then we know. That's a discussion.
Add their slot in there. But yeah, I've actually tried to use that app one time to get a magic parcel. I think it's really cool.
Is that when I was with you? Because do you remember when we went to go get a magic parcel and
we saw
police tape everywhere?
Police tape.
Someone had just been stabbed. I was just like,
yeah, someone
had, back to the East Midlands, man.
Like a 14, 15 year old boy. I had checked maybe a couple of days after, but I went to go pick up my magic parcel. Obviously, you pay for it on the app beforehand. And you pick it up at the end, just before the shop closes. So I'm parked up, I'm walking down, and I'm just seeing loads of people outside of their you know, houses or apartments. And I'm thinking, okay. Then I walk down, I see the blue lights. Then I walk a bit further down, and I see police tape. And it's like, I can't even go to the shop. They've locked off the whole road. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going home, because I just heard the police officer say something about two guns and this. And I was like, yeah, listen, I'm out. I don't want to be involved. So I got home. Checked a couple of days later, and yeah, like a 14 or 15 year old boy had been stabbed. And I was just thinking, damn, all this stuff still happens in COVID.
Yeah, man, that was during crazy. COVID. And I was chilling in the car. I didn't know anything of it, other than seeing the lights in the distance.
Hey, Okello here. This section is a space where we'll be sharing short stories, creative experiences, and art. This week, I'll be telling you about the tale of Sengbe Per the Gallant. The Tale of Sengbe Per the Gallant, Part 8. Pierre and the other Mendes reached their homeland in 1842. In Sierra Leone, Pierre encountered civil war. He and his company maintained contact with the local mission for a while, but Pierre left to trade along the coast. Little is known of his later life, and rumours circulated. Some maintained that he had moved to Jamaica. Others held that they perished during an ongoing war. Little is known of what became of Sengbe Per after his return to Sierra Leone. The end.
With calmness and stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.